Praise the Lord. Don't want to talk. I love that last song. About wore out to the day sitting in my office. He doesn't have to come, but he always does. We serve such a faithful God. Sometimes we don't deserve the grace he gives us. But he's always there, right? I've got a Kleenex right here. Well, I think I'm going to play that song at the beginning of the service so that I'm not all choked up to the end of the service. I think that's why I have it for this evening. I had to play it this evening, too. Well, Father, we just truly do thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for each and every soul that came out to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father, that you do always come. You're always here when we need you. And even when we don't know that we need you, you're here with us, holding us tightly to your bosom. And Father God, I know we're celebrating your son's birth in this season. And we just want to thank you for sending your one and only son to die for us so we could one day sit in heavenly places. We worship you, Father, and not from afar, but we worship you with true intimacy. And we so thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one thing the body of Christ is that we still don't understand we're in a warfare. We still think that we're just sitting around here just passing the days by. But whether you know it or not, the warfare is getting stronger and stronger. And the enemy doesn't fight clean. He fights very dirty. And some of the body of Christ are just sitting by, allowing him to destroy on the right and on the left. And we need to get this together. And we need a purpose in our heart that no matter what, we're going to follow God. And we're going to fight this good fight of faith. And we're going to make it through. This has been one of the hardest years I think I've ever lived. And, you know, and anything that God, anything that the devil could strip you of, he stripped you of. But God's always been there to make sure that he didn't take you totally out. But he's been building character and integrity in us, you know. And I do hope that we soon learn a lesson. So we don't have to keep going through these same turmoils over and over again. Let's see what God has to say here. God says, my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. I have been instructing them in the way they should be going, but few are following my instructions. I have been instructing them in the way they should be going, but few are following my instructions. The enemy has a well thought out plan to take my people out, but I have made a way of escape if they will take it. I was just talking to Sister Nancy before service, and I said, you know, I sit and think about all the people that came through these doors and how God ministered salvation to them, but they didn't want to give up their sins. So they've been out there all these years just wandering around, getting in more trouble and more trouble. They can't figure out what's going on in their life. They rejected God's word. They rejected his truth. And now this is where we're at. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, and that's what the church has been doing, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Sounds to me like what you don't do is affecting your children, according to God's word. God said, truth be told, the enemy himself is running around in circles trying to figure out new ways to bring my people to their knees. Let's take a look inside my word and see how this war should be going. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he what was he tempted by? The devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was taken by the Holy Spirit away, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to begin his ministry. Do you know how many people don't fast 40 days and 40 nights to begin their ministry? They just jump into it. And then when it doesn't turn out right, they're wondering why. It's because they never paid the price at the beginning of their ministry. Verse 3 says, now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Satan knew who he was. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. See how the devil knows the word? The church doesn't know the word, but the devil knows the word. So Jesus said to Satan, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus already had all those things. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, whenever Satan found out that when Jesus kept telling Satan, he wasn't going to do anything he wanted him to do. Then Satan left. But see, with the body of Christ, Satan comes and tempts you, and so you give in to the temptation. So then he stays there, and he gives you another temptation. You give in that temptation. Next thing you know, you're totally overtaken by the enemy. But each time, and seeing God said, let's take a look inside my word and see how this war should be going. So right here in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, tells you how you should do when the enemy comes after you. And 1 Samuel 17, verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. We're talking about King David. And struck the Philistine and killed him. I want you to look at what we're reading here. Let's start that again. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him. Was he not dead when the stone hit him? Think the stone just knocked him out? All right, so he took the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now God says, my people, like David, need to cut the enemy's head off. You cannot just knock him to the ground. You need to make sure he never gets up again. And that's what David did. Isn't God awesome? I never saw that before. God said that has been the weak point of the church. They never kill the enemy. God said, today I say unto you, kill the giants, cut their heads off, never let them rise again. You have all power and authority. You need never give in to the wiles of the evil one. My son Jesus paid the ultimate price when he went to the cross. It is because of his blood that you are set free from the snare of the fowler. All right? God said, my son Jesus is the reason you can stand face to face with the enemy and win every battle. Yes, you will have battle scars, and yes, there will be times when you think you have lost. But the truth be told, you won before the fight ever started. You won because of the precious blood of my son, Jesus. You won because of Calvary. You won because there is power in that blood. What does my word tell you about the blood? And Revelation 12, 11 through 12 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. God gave me that verse years ago, maybe 15 years ago, maybe 20, and the enemy has come down at that point to start harassing the body of Christ and trying to destroy us. And we can all say that he has worked very hard at trying to destroy us and weaken us and make us bow our knees to him instead of to Jesus. Now, this verse is a powerful verse that we just read. The power of the blood of Jesus gives us weapons that we can use in our lives. It is a weapon that has never lost his power. It is highly effective, the blood is. Every single person on the planet needs the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Apart from the blood of Jesus, you cannot have a relationship with God. Without the blood of Jesus, you will die in your sins. With the blood of Jesus, we have redemption. Jesus has purchased you and me by shedding his blood for our sins. Everything about your relationship with God is wrapped up in the precious blood of Jesus. Years ago, God spoke to me and said, never forget the blood. He said, wrap them in a blanket of blood. So I continually plead the blood of Jesus over everybody I pray for, and then I wrap them in the blanket of blood where the enemy can't come and get to them in any way, shape, or form. Because that's how God instructed me to pray. And by his blood, we are redeemed, forgiven, justified, and sanctified. That's why Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. By Jesus' blood, we are redeemed, forgiven, justified, and sanctified. By the blood, you have been redeemed out of the power of darkness. Satan has no power over you. Get that in your spirit. Satan has no power over you. He might harass us, but he has no power over us. God is trying to get his people to the full knowledge of who he is and what his son's blood stands for. He's been trying to do that for years now. God is trying to get his people to the full knowledge. And what did God start out with? My people perish for lack of knowledge. So he's been trying to get us to the full knowledge of who he is and what his son's blood stands for. Why are you still in sin? It's because you don't understand what Jesus did on the cross. You don't understand that through the blood you have freedom, you don't have to continue to sin. But it's because you don't apply the blood that God told us one time that we don't use the weapons of warfare, that all of the weapons of warfare that he's given us in his word. And his blood is a powerful weapon that we need to start using. Some of us need to take that blood and wrap our in a blanket and wrap it around our minds. Because sometimes our minds go stupid. Plead the blood of Jesus over this crazy mind. And I have the mind of Christ, right? Okay, so then I said, God is trying to get his people to the full knowledge of who he is and what his son's blood stands for. Why? For the purpose of serving him more effectively and conforming you to be the vessel that will carry his glory over the face of the earth. He wants us to understand what the blood does for the purpose of serving him more effectively. We serve him, but we aren't effective enough. And conforming you to be the vessel that will carry his glory over the face of the earth. The only reason why God addresses the issues in your life that are dark is because he's trying to change you and conform you to his son, Jesus Christ. Everything we go through, God allows us to go through because he's trying to build character in us and integrity. And you know, well, I've got character. No, you don't have character like God wants you to have, or he wouldn't keep placing you in these different situations that you're in. Some situations he places us in is to build our faith in him And he says all the promises he's given us are going to come to pass this year. And so, you know, he waits the very last second to bring them to pass because he's building our faith. He's been telling us now for a while, teaching us, build up your faith. And hasn't he been doing that? Because he knew this day was coming. And he knew this, I'm hearing him say, he knew this resurrection day was coming and you would need to walk in faith to continue your journey with him. It's by faith that we keep going, right? You know, we all have to have something to believe in. And I happen to believe in Jesus. And I happen to believe that he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing with me. He knows how much I can bear, and he knows when to back off. He's not going to let the enemy pressure me and take me out. So God says, Saul, why are you kicking against the goads? Now let's go to Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, still bringing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. It says there he was killing God's people, right? Against disciples. We're all disciples, all right? And this is who Saul was trying to kill. Anybody that was proclaiming Christ, just like they're doing right now. As Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Some of you are going to get suddenlies. I'm guaranteeing you're going to get suddenlies. It's going to change you. A light shone around Saul from heaven. When Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And, you know, as I was writing, as he gave me that scripture and I was writing it, you know, this is what God does with a prophet. If you're, you know, you need to know something, he's going to send you to a prophet. And a prophet's going to tell you what God wants you to do. But yet, that's why you have to make sure it's not a false prophet and it's a true prophet, so that it's God really speaking to you and not just some person speaking what they want you to do in your life. And there's a lot of those out there. They think they know you. They don't know you. They just know what they see in the outside. Jesus knows you from the very core of your being. So Acts 9:13-16 says, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard, this is talking about Saul yet, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And here was Saul. Everybody hated him because he was killing Christians right and left. And he was doing it very proud that he was doing it. He thought he was doing somebody a service. And God says, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. So God knew from the day he came from the mother's womb, he knew before he ever existed that he was going to do what he did. But God's purpose was for him to spread the gospel. He knew Saul was going to go and kill its people. All right? God knows what you're going to do before you do it, because it's already been happening in heaven. We talked about this a lot. So it's no surprise to God what you do. It really isn't. It's a surprise to you sometimes what you do, but not to God, because he knew what you was going to do. But he also knows where he's taking you to. So he said, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. We all thought when we was born, no, I thought when I was born again that it was going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just thought, boy, my life was going to be a bed of roses. It was just the opposite. I was having a good life before I was born again. I mean, I never did go into the world. I always went to church. But when you become born again, then you become a danger to Satan. Because it's okay, now their eyes are open and they understand Jesus. They know you can talk to him. And now Satan says, I'm in trouble and I got to get this person down. All right. And the first thing that everybody tells the church, if you're a child of God, you'll never suffer. I was in a church one time. Well, Bradford was born again, and I told the pastor, God told that Christians suffered. She got upset with me. Don't you ever say that in this church ever again. Christians do not suffer. But what did God say here? Jesus say, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say how many souls he was going to save. See, this is the problem with the body of Christ. We were never told that we were going to suffer for Christ. God, the Holy Spirit taught me everything I know. But, you know, the church never tells you that. You know, they just let you come in and sit down as long as your head, you know, that they say that they have so many heads in their church that that's all they care about. It's not about your head. It's about your soul. It's not about how much money you're going to get paid because you have all these people in your church. It's about the soul. Is the soul being saved? Or are they just coming in, just sitting? Sometimes in your life, you have to change, right? Things in your life have got to start turning around. Somebody kick one, please. All right, the conversion of Saul is quite significant. It was a turning point in his life. What God is telling you this morning, this is a turning point in your life. It's very significant. God has taken you from where you were to where he wants you to be. What did God say, Saul? Why are you kicking against the goads? When God made the above statement earlier, he was calling his children Saul, and he wants to know why you're kicking against the goads. Why are you not heeding his voice and allowing him to change you and then send you forth as an anointed vessel of honor? In other words, why are you kicking against the goats? God say, why are you kicking about what I'm asking you to do? Why are you fussing and fuming and carrying on like a fool? Are you my child or are you not my child? Did you not say, here I am, Lord, use me? Remember that my testimony is, you know, like I said, when I went into, became born again, all hell broke loose against me. And I asked God, what is this? He said, I heard you when you said, here I am, use me. And this goes along with those words. So all of you sitting in here this morning and said, here I am, Lord, use me. You're like I died. I was so excited. And I never counted the cost. It was going to cost me everything. And God told me one time shortly after I was born again, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you. How many of you sitting here this morning, you have not yet given him 100% of yourself? How many of you are still holding on to your flesh that you think brings you so much pleasure, but one day you're going to be sitting in hell wishing you would have given that piece of flesh to God? You say you're walking in the Spirit, and if that is the truth, then why are you laboring? Why do you not have rest and peace reigning in your life? I'm just going to use Barbara as an example. The other day, she was a mess. I walk in the Spirit, but yes, she was a mess. Why were you laboring so hard? Why couldn't you just believe what God told you and rest? Well, so many things were going on. Hey, she doesn't say that. I'm saying people say that. So many things are going on at one time. That's life. Just because you're born again, you don't quit living life. See, and I thought you quit living life and then, you know, it was going to be just a big, you know, fancy party. But that isn't how it works. In fact, once you become born again, it gets worse. Come on. I want you all to admit to one thing. You really aren't walking in the Spirit the way you ought because you fret all the time. If you're really walking in the Spirit the way you should be, you wouldn't be going around worrying about what God's going to do next. What did he tell you he's going to do? Then he said, all my promises are yes and amen. Now he's given us another promise that all these promises are going to come to pass this year, not the next 10 years. Now, are you going to believe that or no? If you believe that, then you won't be fretting about things. Just won't. I'm glad you don't have tomatoes this morning. Can't throw your candy canes either. All right. God told me this. I think this is neat. This morning, we don't need an Acts chapter 2 experience. What the body needs is an Acts chapter 9 experience. Acts chapter 9 is where Saul was knocked off his horse. Oh, see, the bell just went off. And Acts chapter 2 was whenever the Holy Spirit was given to the people in the upper room. You already have this. You already had that experience. Now you need to be knocked off your horse. Well, let me see. God needs to knock you off your high horse and blind you to the things of the world and open your eyes to the things of the kingdom of light. And that's what he told me. So I just, you know, I wrote it down. This morning, we don't need an Acts chapter 2 experience. Now, you all know what that is. That's when the anointing fell, right? What the body needs is an Acts chapter 9 experience. God needs to knock you off your high horse and blind you to the things of the world and open your eyes to the things of the kingdom of light. So how many of you are ready to be knocked off your high horse? How many of you are ready to see that blinding light that changes your life totally and completely, and you no longer will walk around with blinders on, but you will understand the true things of the Spirit? Come on. You guys are so anointed. You do have leadership qualities and abilities, and because God always told me, I'm going to send ministers in, and here you are, you weren't a minister. He said, I'm going to use you to teach them how to walk in my ways, and then I'm going to send them out into the highways and the byways, and they'll minister to the people. So you weren't a minister when God brought you in, but God's been trying to clean you up so he can now send you out into the world. Now, that's why God said we would always have a swinging door, because he would send people in. What's the word say? Many are called, but few are chosen. And he would call people to come in, and they would hear the word. And when they found out they couldn't send them, where they said, I can't deal with this. It's too hard. I have to sin. And they walked away from God. He called them, but he couldn't choose them because they wouldn't give up their sin nature. Now, some of you have been sitting under this teaching for quite some time, and I know you think the press is never going to stop, and it won't. God's always pressing us. He's always pressing anything, you know, because every day the devil comes at you with something, and he has to press that out of you continually so that you will be pure vessels yielded to God that he can send out there to minister a lost and dying world. Why do you think there aren't too many people? Why do you think people are leaving churches by the groves right now? They were never taught the truth. And so when the battle come, they didn't know what to do, so they just walked away. It was too hard. Because they know if you're not in the church, Satan won't bother you. You're no threat to him. And the church is not prepared. And God's told us many times that churches are not prepared for the gross darkness that's coming across the land. And, all right, let's just face it, guys. Even us who know all this, sometimes it brings us to our knees. I mean, but I don't mean to the knees of Satan, but the knees to pray, because we just didn't know it was going to be that hard. We just didn't know it was going to be that hard. And even though we thought we were prepared for what was coming, we really weren't. We weren't taking it seriously enough. And God's dealt with you about that. He's dealt with you seriously about that. Now, what are you going to do with what God has been doing? He says, Saul, why are you kicking against the goats? And whenever he said it, he said, I'm talking to my body. My body is kicking against the things I'm asking them to do, to purify them. Now, do you want to be purified by God? Do you want to be a vessel of honor that he can send forth to do great and mighty works? Or are you just content in sitting in your sloppy sin and one day go to hell? That's what it amounts to. You're not going to go to heaven. You need to quit fretting. You know, fretting's a sin. Do you know that? The other day, Johnny came into my study, and I said, I don't have a word for, it was yesterday, I don't have a word yet for God. It was Friday. And he said, aren't you just going to talk about the manger? I said, no, I'm not going to talk about the manger. It's Christmas, he said. I said, that doesn't mean to talk about the manger. You know, and I spent 6 hours trying to get a song service together, Christmas song service. I said, well, I better hurry up and get a whole Christmas song service together because this will be the last chance. I could not get a Christmas song service together. Finally, I said, okay, I'm going to go some other direction. It fell together just like that. Because God didn't want me doing the traditional, you know, just, all right, we got to sing Christmas songs today. No, that's tradition. That's not spirit. And so he put the song service together real quickly. I wish I'd have, you know, listened earlier. It wouldn't have taken me all that wasted time. And see, this is what you do when you're walking in the spirit. You don't do what you want to do or what tradition says you should do. You need to do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. I had somebody leave the church one time because we don't have communion once a month. And see, and God told me, he said, I don't want you to have communion again until I tell you to. And so anytime we have communion, because God says so, he says, because they're taking my communion in the wrong way. And you know, it says in there, you need to take it in the right way. So see, and now people, well, you don't do communion once a month, so this can't be God's church. Yeah, that's why we don't do communion once a month, because it is God's church and we're led by the Spirit. Now, how are you led? Are you led by the Spirit, or are you led by your flesh, or by what other people say? Like I said, you're all strong people. God brought you in there to be leaders. He's training you to be leaders. And I watch you. It's really nice. It's like a mother watching her children grow, you know. And then you do something dumb. I thought, why'd you do that? You know, because you know better. But you still do dumb things. We all do dumb things. I'm including myself. We all do dumb, and we know better. But you know, God says, how many of you say, God, did I mess up? Too bad. And he'll say, come on, just get up and go on. You know, he doesn't make us stay down. He always encourages, get up and go on. So this morning, you have to understand we're in a warfare. It's not going to get less. It's going to get more intense. Because Satan knows, according to the scripture, Satan knows he has a little time to get as many of us out of God's hands and into his before the final day comes. That might be 200 years from now. I don't know. I don't know when. I just know that God told us we are working on the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are prepared. We are a forerunner church, and we are preparing the way for others to follow. And I'm telling you, some of you, I wouldn't want to follow right now. I really wouldn't. I've always told you I wouldn't want you out in the field with me in the trench, because you'd run away the minute the war got bad. You wouldn't be covering my back. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. Would you stay in the trench, and would you fight? And don't get this old high and mighty mind of yours going either. Let's get truth. You know, get down to truth. Would you stay in the trench and fight, or would you turn tail and run? Because the battle's too intense. God really wants you to think hard about this. We're getting ready to go into a new year. He said, if you don't get it together, you won't go into the new year. Sister Julie Betts sent me a prophetic word we'll put on this afternoon, and this is what God said. You know, and he's not fooling around. He said, some of you heard my word, you didn't listen, so it's too late. Is it too late for you? You know, did you hear his word? And did you heed his word? Did you let him change you? Let's not take any old baggage into the new year. I mean it. Let's not take any old baggage into the new year. Because God told me, whatever you take into the new year, you're going to have to deal with the rest of the year. Now, do you really want to fight another year with what you had this year? Then get rid of it. Get rid of it so we can go into the new year totally clean vessels that God can fill with his glory. Let's be vessels of honor that God can work through. It doesn't matter what you're used to. That's not what God's doing. He's doing a brand new thing. Remember, he kept telling me, don't, because, you know, we always had the glory, but he said, don't want what you used to have, because I have something far greater for you. And you know, it's hard for me because I have to sit around and wait for this greater that God's going to do. But I have to wait until God's ready to give the greater. And this has been, the last 15 years has been dead years for me. Because I'm so used to having the church filled up and God's glory here and miracles happening. And then whenever he stopped all that, it's like you died. It's like I died. And I've had to sit here until God's ready to do what he said he's going to do, the greater works. Some people have left because they said, well, I don't see nothing. You don't hear from God. I'm telling you, God told me when he said, tell them my glory's coming, and don't grow weary in telling them it's coming. So see, with you, if God tells you something, don't grow weary, you know, just because it doesn't happen overnight, even 10 years, don't grow weary. God said it. It's going to happen in God's timing. Because it doesn't happen immediately, the body of Christ, I'm out of here. And that's not the way it should be. So this morning, God said, he told me to remind you that he told you last service, that last week, that the glory he had dropped the glory, opened the heavens and dropped the glory. And he said, now this morning, he wants to give you a greater touch of that glory. He said, he's telling me to tell you that he couldn't give you it all last week. Because some of you are not ready for it. Your vessels aren't clean enough. But this morning, he wants to give you more of that glory so we can start changing you from the inside out, so that you will be vessels of honor that can carry his glory to a lost and dying world. The altar is open for that purpose.